What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. Tim Getty stepped on a rock and got bit on both eyes by a snake. Joining me today, he's the future class of video games. Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Rest in peace, Tim Getty, for the second time.
No, still
time
alive,
this
still
month.
Alive. He's,
oh, he's still alive.
Still
he
alive.
Made it to
the yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because last time he died after he tripped over
I
Moose.
I forgot that he died.
Yeah, Cool Greg was holding a bunch of knives, and so the fact that he's able to come back and come back stronger to not die this time, I'm very impressed.
He slowed down his heart rate. He's been practicing that lately. So everybody thought he was dead, but it was just, he's been practicing it. I forgot he mentioned that.
Wow. See, that makes more sense, because back when I had it communicated to me that, he missed a show because he stepped on a rock, I didn't realize there was knives involved. I just thought his foot hurt, and he missed it because of a sore foot.
Cool Greg was holding a lot of knives.
Yeah, Cool Greg was holding a lot
to
of
see
knives.
It. Oh, my God. Right? There's so much narrative here. Who needs books? We're right here. You know?
I think you began the narrative.
You know, it doesn't matter. You, we're all together when we start. It doesn't matter who started it. We're all collaborating. All right? It's all happening over here. That other voice, of course, was the Hispanic heartthrob Texas Treat Latino Heat. Clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The Globetrotting, Headshotting, Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
Greg, you can remember a song that you heard in 1994, but you can't get this down yet. What's going on, Greg?
Well, first off, you've seen me do it off book before. But the problem is I only introduce you once a week on the Kind of Funny Podcast, or I guess twice a week now on the Kind of Funny Podcast. And sometimes I have it in front of me and sometimes I don't. So when I take it, like right now, I'm using a different doc, so I don't have it in front of me. So I'm relying on Hispanic Heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat. And then it was the, is it clicking or ripping? I couldn't remember
clicking
what came first, you know?
Well,
now that I remember, C before R, you know what I mean? Alphabetical. I'll have it from here on out.
Exactly. Just clicking heads, you know, like how he would click his mouse to be able to shoot. Yeah, think about that, Greg.
Headshot.
No, I understand, Grandma. I understand,
no,
I understand what he's doing.
I don't think you got it, man.
He's the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Hey, what up, everybody? Happy to be here.
What are you drinking there? What are you drinking on?
A little tea. I dominated Andy Cortez, Nick Scarpino,
this
Joey, and Tim, and mini golf, and I'm rewarding myself with a little bit of hot tea.
If you won by one stroke over me and Andy, calm down.
Fucking space state level. It's stupid.
I've noticed that there's this energy. Andy and Mike have come in here and they're both down. Andy no longer standing. He's sitting. Mike drinking tea. Like they went the yard, as they say. Spawn on me's Khalif Adams. How are you?
I'm good, good. Shout out to you on the Tibby Tie. Contangelo Jackson coming to a stream very, very soon near you.
Ooh, look at that. Yeah.
It is happening.
And then, of course,
look up Blessing's face.
I don't know what just happened.
Oh, you don't know
that. Well, it just came out of your mouth.
Oh, we have a show today, folks. We have some energy for you. And rounding out our sextet. What's six? Is it
sextet? Sextet.
Sextet? Is that true?
Yeah.
Sextet.
Sextet. She, of course, is Christmas in April. It's Joey Noel on the ones and twos. She's up in the voice. She's in the cloud.
I am. It's real nice up here. A little wet, but real nice.
I guess,
moisture.
There's moisture in clouds. Yeah, that's part of it.
Evaporation.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast, and it's our review, I guess so far probably, of Outriders. I think everybody's in a different place with the game, but basically it'll be titled The Outriders Review. We've all been playing, and we all want to talk about it, but first I need to tell you that, of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week we get together to talk about all the things we love and sometimes don't love in video games. If you love us talking about video games, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where of course you can write in to be part of the show. You can watch live just like Matt Grover is. I got a friend named Grover too. Don't worry about it. Corey Scott and the Lou.
Oh, that's
are...
the blue guy. That's the blue guy from the Elmo. I recognize him.
Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Yes, you can be part of the show. Yes, you can be a Patreon producer. You can also get the show ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every week when we record, usually on Tuesdays. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get a brand spanking new episode of the Gamescast, usually Wednesdays, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every Wednesday, unless there's some weird embargo we have to worry about. Of course, when you get them later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you have to listen to the ad and you don't get a post show, but you still get one hell of a show. Like, subscribe, share, click the bell, and all that jazz. Some housekeeping before we get into the business of the day. There has been a huge week of video game content up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. The XCast tackled PlayStation's The Show coming to Xbox Game Pass. Try to wrap your head around that sentence. PS I Love You XOXO has a Ratchet and Clank review up and us debating if it has a place in the best PlayStation 4 games of all time and what it means for the next Ratchet and Clank PS5 game. And then there is a brand new Blessing show all about Elden Ring. Of course, all this content is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Two of them up on podcast services. Blessing Show, not only available on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. So it would mean a lot if you went there and supported one of the few video-only products we do. For now, though, thank you to our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Sancho West Gaming, Julian the Group, Gluten Free Gamer, Delaney Twinning, Jeffrey P. Long, I'm sorry, Jeffrey P. Long, Jesus Barrio, a.k.a. Bent Fork PR, Skin Tight Salmon, Game Jumper X, Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we are sponsored by Upstart, but I will tell you about, This is, Khalif, how good am I at my job, do you think?
You're really good.
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I would say I'm pretty good too. But as I was reading those producers, I was like, that sounds like an old list of Patreon producers. And it turns out, everybody, sorry, that one's on me. That was on me.
Yeah, I
heard the door open. I'm sorry. Those were July 2020 producers. The April 2021 Patreon producers go like this. Mick, a.k.a. at the Nanobiologist, Tom Bach, Elliot, James Hastings, Sancho West Gaming, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Trent Berry, and Tyler Ross.
You
today,
heard
we are still. What's that?
I was going to say, you heard the surprise of my voice when I said, Momo!
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That was like a genuine, holy crap.
We've chased a lot of people off, but you know.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's what gave it away, because I was like, man, I haven't done the Jeffrey Long in a long time. And I was like, oh, right, because when I did that for a month, he's like, fuck these guys. I am not, I don't want to hear my names called Long. But there you go, Long Stockings, you're back in the show, Jeffrey. What about it? While we're here, Burt Meg's a cool name too, but I digress. We're brought to you by Upstart. I'll tell you about it later. For now, let's talk about a little game called Outriders. As we record this morning, it was at a 77 on Metacritic. Of course, Outriders out right now on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. Came out April 1st from People Can Fly, the developer, Square Enix, the publisher. Khalif Adams, where are you in your Outriders journey right now? I need to know your class. I need to know your level, your world tier, your hours played.
I am packing it all into all the time that I have in my life at this point. It is unreasonable how much time I've been spending in there. I'm running on three different consoles, three different platforms. I'm running on PC, PS5, and Xbox.
Why?
I have a... Because I... what do you mean, why?
Why not?
There's no, why not, baby? You got to get it all in when you can.
Okay.
You can't just have it all.
Commit to one. That's Mike would say, commit to greatness, right, Mike?
Commit to greatness, Khalif, but also... Hey, game developers out there, commit to cross progression.
Oh my
Think
God!
About
please,
it.
Thank
Think
you.
About it.
Can we get some PvP progression going across the game?
If you're gonna make me sign into my Square Enix account, then how about that account mean something and carry this information for me, like Destiny?
Agree. I mean, that's the reason why I'm on all the different platforms right now, so I can play with everybody who wants to get some games in. But I'm running on the main account, which is my highest count on PC. I'm around 21. I got to 21 last night. I'm running my trickster class over there, and then I'm rocking a pyro as well. That's like a level 8 or so. It is it is so good. It is so good right now. I'm having a blast with it, and it's I'm excited to hear what everybody else is running and why you're running what you're running.
Okay, well then let's start getting it going around the horn here. We'll start with you, Andy Cortez. Give me your class, level, world tier. How many hours played?
I am a technomancer. I am level 18, world tier 7. I just unlocked that.
Nice.
And hours played, I'd say around, it says 13 and a half, but I always, you know, the game will sit idle every once in a while. So let's say 12. Let's say 12.
Okay. Snowback Mike, same questions.
I'm rocking a Devastator because Khalif, I like to get up in the action and get rewarded for that.
I like how you looked at me when you said that, too. Like,
you asked, hey, why are you playing
these characters? I made me want to wink at you from across the internet. I was like, get up on it. Hey, wink.
Oh, this kid likes action. All right. He likes to get up in
with
there.
Come here. Steal my heart with them thieves shirts on. I see you.
Currently level 27. World tier 7 complete. Working on 8 right now. And hours played about 12, I would say. About 12.
Okay. Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
I am rocking the Technomancer at level 22, world tier 7, and I've been playing for, it says 19 hours on my PS5, but that is also some of it. That's me including the demo time, first of all. That is also me including the time I spent playing both the Technomancer class and the Trickster class, because I started off as Trickster, and so I probably did a few hours of that too, and then also standing idle, and so really it's probably more like 17 hours in total.
Voice in the class, Joy Noel, where are you at with all this?
I am a pyromancer. I'm level 19, world tier 7, and I'm about 20 hours in.
Very nice. I love the diversity, as you're saying, Khalif, in terms of what everybody's playing, right? I'm playing a trickster. I am level 30. Beat the campaign last night with Mikey. Went off on an expedition. Today, played a little bit before this to get just have an excuse to play World Tier 9. And I'm at 39 hours played when you combine in the demo and what I've put in on the thing. And yeah, I can't get enough of this game, Andy Cortez.
Mike, how are you such a high level with you've played way more than me. There's no way that we've played the same amount of hours.
So we're going to talk about it here, Andy. So what can happen here is I've kicked it down world tiers a couple of times where it's like been breeze mode, we'll call it. And you're still getting XP, but I'm like breezing through missions here. So you'll notice your guys' play time's a little bit higher because you've probably been working on those world tiers. I've had moments where I've played solo, kicked it down to world tier 3 and just mindlessly gunned down people.
Okay,
and, really elevated my gameplay there.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I had the same question, because it seems like our times are all over the place, and I was expecting certain numbers from Greg and Joey that are way different from what they would have been, like, depending on what their level were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I played with a lot of early level people this weekend that didn't play a lot last week. Two people that were, like, kind of starting out, so I feel like I put a lot of... It was just kind of helping them power through and get them leveled.
Yeah, and I feel like that's where the hours start stacking up pretty quickly, and world tiers don't move as much. That's what I ran into, too. So I had been playing, I had done the demo, fallen in love with it there, and I want to talk about specifically Andy and where he's at with that. But for this part of the conversation, had been doing so, when I started up, I was already committed and knew what I was doing, and it was that idea of I was, like, blasting out the code Friday and Saturday, and so many Kind of Funny best friends were jumping in there playing, and I'm so glad you did. I love playing with you guys. But it was, like, I have it cranked up to the highest world tier, and all of a sudden, like, level 9 comes in and is just getting hit once and dead. I'm like, all right, well, this sucks. Let's turn the world tier down and we can keep moving the story and doing stuff that, you know, is mattering for my progression, but not actually that, you know, pushing me or, you know, doing the world tier stuff. Because, of course, we should point out, too, if you're here for the Outriders review and you haven't actually played Outriders, you might be, oh, is this going to be... I saw somebody say, oh, is this spoiler-free? We'll get into, like, is there a story to Outriders?
I couldn't spoil this game if I wanted to. I have no idea what the
times
fuck is going on.
Would play with me and be like, so I know you've been playing, Greg. Like, what's going on in the story? I was like, I think this person, like, I don't think you have to worry too much about that. But it is that idea that, you know, you have your level, which caps at 30, and then you have your world tiers, which is dictating how hard the level and your enemies are going to be, what kind of legendary drops you're getting, the percentages there. And so it's another XP bar pretty much that's filling in as you play. But when you go down to somebody else's and they're playing on world tier 2, you're at their mercy. And so you're playing on their world tier 2. Or if you want to go in and pick one, you can pick to be on level 5, but then you won't be filling in your bar that is level 6 to get to level 7 kind of thing. So that's this system that I think is really cool and works really well. And we'll talk about it, but that's where that's at and why I think you're seeing hours up. But like it was one of those things, if I told you, talk about hours played as we go around, I would expect me to be way further in world tier than 9. I feel like we're all right in that meaty area at the same time. But to kick the conversation off, Andy Cortez, I need your updated take here for our Outriders review. Of course, you went and saw the demo the first time. You loved it. You came back. When another demo came around, you brought Blessing. You guys enjoyed it. And then when the actual demo dropped and you got to play it, you didn't seem hot on it anymore. And you and I kind of inversed, where I had no expectations for it and I got excited, where you had expectations and then came down. Talk to me where you are right now, you know, days after release.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I've totally done... I was mentioning last night on stream, I've done a 360 with this game. Did the 180 when the demo came out, not feeling too great. I think a lot of it may have been due to technical issues. The demo wasn't running super great on PC. There was no DLSS. There was no... the game ran really janky, even without being in a party. And that's never a good sign. When you're a single player and the game isn't running great... So I knew what I was going to expect when it came to story and voice acting. And going into it, I warned everybody. I was like, look, I'm super looking forward to Outriders. I think the acting is not good, and I think the story is just going to be whatever. Who cares? I love the gameplay so much, and I'm really, really excited for it. And all of the negatives just kind of piled on, in addition to not only the negatives of the voice acting and the gameplay, but the negatives in how the game felt. I just wasn't feeling it. And I can't get enough of this game. I really can't. It's so much fun. Go ahead, Bless.
Yeah, Andy, how much of this do you think is because when we played the demo, or not the demo, when we went in for the preview back in August, was it that they threw us in at a higher level? Because the thing I noticed when the demo came out recently and we were playing, and I think we both might have been in the same spot in terms of playing the demo and that kind of tempering our expectations a bit. The thing that had me a bit excited was seeing Greg go play the game with IGN and them giving him a build that seemed to be way higher level, and then Greg coming back and being like, hey, I'm kind of into Outriders, like I'm kind of digging this. That kind of started getting the gears in my head going of like, okay, so it might be that the game just shines way more at a higher level. Do you think that's what it is?
No, I think it was just the performance, honestly. I think just the way it felt. Again, I have like a really good PC and I expect it to work really, really well. And there was a lot of broken things in the settings. There was just there was things that just weren't working. When I would change the resolution, sometimes it wouldn't change unless I did some weird thing, then suddenly it looked good again. There was just a lot of jank all over the place with the demo. But they've seemed to have just fixed a lot of issues when it comes to how it performs on PC. The one negative I'm still seeing, apart from the other negatives, obviously like server issues, not good. We're not going to excuse that here. We know the game has a shitload of problems when it comes to creating parties and all that stuff. But just the moment-to-moment gameplay, the gunfire, the merging of abilities, the different sort of enemy variants. Obviously, like it's these soldiers with white face kind of helmet things that come at you in waves. And I honestly expected that to feel old by now, and it hasn't yet, which is a good feeling. And I'm having an actual blast with it. I can't believe that I did another 180 again. The full 360 has happened.
So now you're back to where you started, where you were excited for it, enjoying
it. I can't get enough of it. I want to keep playing. I picked Technomancer because I love long range. I love sniping. And a couple of negatives I'll throw out there. I still think that as soon as I group up with other players, I start to notice pretty big performance drops. When I'm in a single player game, it's flawless. Like I have no issues. And it's just when people join my party, I regret picking the long range class and sniping because it's so much harder to snipe when you are dealing with, you know, albeit like 90-ish frames and then like, boom, 32 frames, a little drop there. And it's just like there's a lot of hitching and stuff. So I hope all that stuff gets ironed out.
Sure.
I am not happy about the PC console crossplay not working because so much of this was me wanting to play with Greg. Like that was like kind
We're
of
still
the
going
whole
to,
reason.
Baby, don't worry.
That was kind of the whole reason why I was so stoked about this. But yeah, that being turned off and then them realizing all of the other issues, I think that the PC console stuff is still kind of...
Well, they tweeted about that today as we record 3 hours ago. Outriders tweeted, "We know everyone has been keen to know more about the fix for PC console crossplay. The fix for this is tied to the overall patches that we are currently cooking up and running through testing. We hope to soon share more news about their release schedule and content." And it's interesting, you know, Mike and I were playing last night and we were talking about the pros cons warming up for this conversation. And, you know, we were so gung-ho to beat the story last night. And Mike, there was a moment where I thought we weren't going to be able to, because every time we would advance into the boss's room, we would die. And then when we come back out, it would just be black screen. And so it had to be a restart. And like, I have not seen a developer yet talk about power cycling your Xbox or your PlayStation 5 or Series X. And they have been so upfront of like, if this keeps happening and you hang on your sign-in screen, turn off the unit, unplug it, leave it unplugged for minutes, put it back in, detail to it. And when we eventually got through it and beat the thing, it seems like it was that other guy who was joining us. He was causing problems. So that's his problem, not us, Mike. There was this conversation where Mike and I were talking. Mike's like, "What don't you like about the game?" And I started talking stuff, and he's like, "But, you know, aside from all the crashes," and it was like, I can't believe, and this is very much a me personal thing, but I'd like to hear the group's take on it too. Like, the way Outriders has handled it has made it not be a problem for me, where I feel like when games launch like this and have broken servers and you can't play and everything's crashing, it's when they're, "Hey, we're going to update you soon." And you see that tweet's 4 hours old and nothing's being updated, that you're like, "What the fuck?" And then you get mad. All weekend long, all I felt was sympathy for them, because they were, the social media manager was on there, I felt like, every 20 minutes being like, "Here's the update. This is happening. We're doing the mother of all, turn it off, turn it on again." Right? Khalif, am I on the money about that?
No, you're right. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you wind up finding most often, is that the biggest complaints from folks in the community is that the teams aren't being transparent enough.
Yeah.
And I would even say they're probably a little bit too transparent this past couple of days, because there's a lot of stuff coming in and out from various parts of the conversation. But I do think that the thing that I was most impressed with was the fact that even through all the kind of, you know, people getting in their behinds about things not working and the cross progression and all that kind of stuff, not being up there with all the server thing. Cause the thing that was like really frustrating to me was like, you had streamers who were like, dude, I signed this contract to do this content. And what do you mean? I can't play the game. I was like, hey, my fault. That got nothing to do with me. It was the person who's making that game. Like, you got to just wait, homie, and get your stuff together. But I think that the thing that you see that they did really well that a lot of, you know, companies don't do well is they didn't seem panicked, which is really nice to be able to see a company come out and be, you know, transparent. And they knew that they were like, we have this under control. They may have been freaking out behind the scenes, but nobody in public knew. And that was kind of awesome to see from that standpoint, because you don't see that often. Like, you see people turtle. You'll see people just like freak out and just not say a thing for like days. But they were talking for a while. Andy, go ahead.
I had mentioned that when we were doing the demo, was all the time leading up to it, they put out that 23 tweet thread on Twitter about, here's everything to expect, right? And I was like, wow, you know, this level of transparency is getting me really excited, because I feel like they're so confident with all of this. Mm-hmm. And how can anything be bad, right? Like, this company is totally like going out there and saying like, hey, this game's going to come out. And here's how we are operating on the internet. Here's how we are behaving on Twitter. And we are so upfront with everything. And so it kind of gave me a false sense of confidence that the game was going to launch perfect. And then the demo came out and it was less than perfect, obviously. And then the game launched and it seems to just kind of, you know, it's intermittent, right? The game's either working or it's not, and it's going to kick you out of a game or it's not, or it's going to hang on the 80% loading thing or it's not. And that's just, it just kind of seems like it's luck of the draw at this point.
Cleve Adams.
I think the interesting part about all of this was when we had those conversations, because I remember that also, right? Andy, was that whole just like bucket list of things. I was just like, here are all the things that we're going to do. Here's the way we're going to talk about that stuff. And then it was just like, once Game Pass came into the conversation, which I'm sure we're probably going to talk about at some point, I just wonder how that threw all expectations out the window. Like, I know that thing got signed a while ago. It has to have gotten signed a long time ago. But even then, you have to just like think that the number of people who signed in and logged in at that point threw everything off in terms of expectations and numbers. Mike's like, yeah, boy, Game Pass is working.
I mean, I think that, you know, Mike asked me last night while we were getting ready for this of just like, you know, I'm like, I love it, obviously. And he's like, you know, asking these really insightful questions about like, well, why do you love it? And where does that come from? And why does this hit when something like Godfall didn't, and so on and so forth. And I think so much of it is expectations and seeding. And expectations are usually, we use them, and they didn't meet expectations, right? I feel so many people were flat on this game. Like, I would say, what was it, a month ago, where Andy was talking to me on a thing, and it was talking about Outriders. I was like, oh yeah, would I like that? And you're like, oh my god, you'd love it. Like, I had totally missed exactly what this game was and where it was going to go. And I feel like I'm far from the only person who missed that, where I have texts on my phone from last week asking friends, hey, are you going to be playing Outriders? I'm like, I haven't even heard about it. What is it? And then it was this idea that on Game Pass, you have nothing to lose. You jump in, and then it actually goes and clicks and works. Snowbike, why do you think this is clicking and working?
I mean, I think Game Pass is a big deal. For me, it's just a good game, right? This isn't a great groundbreaking game. This isn't a bad game. This is just a middle-of-the-road good game for me. And the best part is you can play it with your friends, and it's got familiarity that so many people love, right? Mm-hmm. It has Diablo and Borderlands. You like looter shooters. You like endless action. This game is bringing it to you, right? And to know that you can play cross-platform with your friends elevates that so much in the day and age that we live in with this online world. And then you put Game Pass on top of that. And now, like you said, right, this is a, you know, a double A team, not much expectations on this. Honestly, it could have just breezed through the radar of most people and not even been on the radar. But then you put it on Game Pass, where now I don't have to convince my friends to spend $60 on a fun weekend together, right? We can all download it. We can enjoy this, right? I don't expect us to be playing this months later like a Destiny type game, right? And we've talked about this games as a service and where we fall, but like, this is that perfect 2-week experience with you and your friends. Borderlands, grab as much gear as you can, try to max out your characters, get weird with different guns and different builds, and then move on to the next game. And I think that's exactly where my expectations were, and that's where they landed, and it's been perfect ever since. I've had so much fun with
it. It's junk food, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and I'm feasting right now. I want to keep feasting and eating more of it, right? Joey, talk to me, because, you know, when I think of a Joey Noel game, I'm usually thinking of something you and Lauren can play together. And that's
that can
be Minecraft Dungeons, that can be Borderlands, that can be Diablo, but right now it is Outriders. Like, what sold you on giving this a shot, and why are you sticking around?
So I think the fact that it had a demo that I could try at the beginning was really accessible. So it's like, okay, like, this is something I might be into, but I don't want to ask for a code or pay for the whole thing or figure out how to play it on Game Pass. So it was nice to like get a handle on like what the mechanics were and what the gameplay was like ahead of time, even though that weekend I felt like was real buggy, on at least for me. Like, it took forever to get in. But I've been looking for something like this to play. We had played Diablo 3 Seasonal. That hadn't really scratched the itch too much. I had tried to jump into The Division 2, but because I just went straight into the expansion, never played the original game, I had like no idea what I was doing. and so that was hard. And then I had tried to go back and finish Borderlands 3, but it was, because it was an older game, as with like the rest of these too, everybody like either, because Borderlands isn't cross-play, so I couldn't get the right people to were willing to play with me on the right platform, or people had already finished it and kind of
you're so far gone, right? Yeah.
So this is the perfect mix of, it's pretty like easy systems to figure out. It's not like overly complicated, which I appreciate. And then because it's on Game Pass and because crossplay was working, at least for me, for most of the weekend really well, it was really easy to hop in with Rhi and Danny for a little bit, or with Lauren and Jacob, or Bless and Lauren and I were playing. Like, there were so many different configurations of people that were playing that you could pretty much always find at least one other person.
Now, Blessing, hold on, 1 second. Or you want to jump off this mic? What do you got?
Yeah, just another one is like, when Joey says that, right, she's talking about like, are we going to go play other older games? And I think now is the perfect time for this game of like, what else are you playing? Right? Like, Blessing will say Disco Elysium, but like, that's such a small market, right? This is the new hotness, right? It's not the big AAA game, but it is hot right now. And the crossplay saves it. But you look around the landscape, what are you going to play? Balan Wonderworld? Like, there's nothing else to play right now. And so this game has hit at that moment we've talked about a lot before with other games of like, you strike when nobody else is around. And this spring area, it's been quiet since launch of the new gen consoles. It's been quiet since holiday. And we're just looking at the horizon. And this game came out at the perfect time with the perfect features and Game Pass. It's like, that's the perfect storm. That's the mixture in the pot to make something special, especially out of a game like this.
And before Blessing starts, I just want to say it's good enough. Like, the game is as good as it needs to be.
That's a perfect way to bring Blessing in. Because, yeah, Bless, you and I had been talking, right, when we were getting ready to pick a book club game for PS I Love You last week before we had Outriders. And it was that question of, well, what is going to be April for us and what are we actually going to be playing? And you were very much like, well, I want to try Outriders, but I don't think I'm going to hang that long with it, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Where are you at right now after having played more of it, or any of it, I guess?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think saying that it's good enough is probably the perfect way to describe it. Also, Junk Food is also another perfect way to describe it, because for me, Outriders isn't a game that I describe as a great game. It is a very fun game. It's a game that, you know, I'm in it right now because it gives me that satisfaction of going in, playing with friends, getting that dopamine hit of taking out enemies and getting through a tough room and then getting all the gear, because this game just has a deluge of gear that it gives you after every single fight.
That noise, man. That when it starts with the drop
sound. And being able to pick up each one, and then half of them usually are going to be higher level than the stuff I got. And so I go in and dismantle what I don't want and then equip what I want. There's something about just that inherent loop that is just so gives so much satisfaction that, like, I think for me, that's the thing that keeps pulling me in, is that it nails that so well. But like, everything else in the game for me has been very much like, I do not care. Like, I don't care about the story. I've been trying to keep up with the cutscenes and watch them, but I don't really care about any of the characters. Like, there are cool things that happen here or there, but by the time I get to any of the cool stuff, I'm like, I don't care about the context that this is in. When you introduce this new character that looks different from all the other characters I met, you know, I'm like, all right, I don't understand why this is cool, but this seems like a cool thing. This seems like a cool reveal, but I don't care about it. When you talk about the art design in the world, I think graphically the game looks really cool, but the art direction is very much PS3 era. Here's a third person action shooter. Like, it is very brown. The characters pretty much looked nondescript for the most part. Like, there's nothing that is pulling me in from anything that isn't gameplay, but the gameplay is so fun that it is good enough for me that I keep coming back to it. And so, it's just a really fun game.
Bless you. You mean your truck modifications aren't the thing that's pulling you back in?
No, I don't. Where do you get the truck modifications? Because like I barely have anything that I can like apply to my truck right now. I have like two paints and that's
it. Dude, you got to go through those accolades. You got to knock out those accolades. You get all sorts of cosmetic. Yeah. But like you want to that your idea of like, you know, it's good enough and it is like a PS3 feeling game at times or whatever. Like when they're like, oh, you have my truck? Yeah. Like they start like playing this guitar riff. You're like, what the fuck is this game? Yeah, they like show you your fucking cool boxy truck.
It has an attitude that I don't really like. Like as soon as you get into the game from the start, they start dropping F-bombs and they start dropping attitude and all this shit. But it also doesn't get in the way. Like when Borderlands 3 came out like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, people I remember all over the place we were like, oh yeah, I don't really like the writing, or I don't really like the jokes.
Discourse
like
the was the fart jokes.
People weren't really vibing with the sense of humor, and that's of course like to each their own, right? Like there's some people that will love that and some people that'll hate that. For Outriders, I think for the most part people seem to have ignored like all those aspects of the game because it's pretty easy to ignore. It doesn't get in the way. But even with that, I'm sure there are people that will dig it because there is lore there is a world there that is there if you want to get into that. But to the Borderlands comparison, I feel like this game is also interesting because it feels like it is pulled between trying to be multiple different types of games. On Monday's Games Daily, we went through the review and progress roundup, and there was one of those in there that kind of compared it to being both like a Borderlands-y type of game or a Gears of War-y type of game, but then also it being a Destiny kind of game. And it feels like it doesn't want to pick a space, which kind of leaves it in this place where, leading up to Outriders, I was talking about it like a games as a service, because so many of the mechanics here and so many of the systems and the loot and the gear and all that stuff feel very Destiny-like. Like, it feels like it wants to be Destiny so
bad.
Dude,
it's Destiny's inventory screen, which, granted, is Avengers is Destiny's inventory screen. But, I mean, this is, like, the exact same thing.
It's the exact same thing, but then also it tries to push off of that so much, where the devs are very much like, this isn't games as a service, this is a loot game, and it seems like they want it to be more Borderlands, but it feels like at the same time it doesn't know what it wants to be, which leaves the game in this kind of weird place for me, where I would like this game to have ongoing content, not necessarily because I'm interested in the story, just because I think it could be fun if this game just got raids over time, right? Like, what if you dropped 3 raids a year for like the next 3 years? Like, for where I'm at with the game right now, I'd like to do that. Like, I'd like to keep playing it in that way because it's been fun in that aspect.
Cleef, you trying to jump in on this game's service conversation? Because I had a question eventually.
Real quick, because it pings on both the things that Bless and Mike said, which is I'm happy it's in that weird nebulous space right now. I like the fact that it's not trying, it's doing a little bit of each one of those things well enough to kind of get me into the space, like inventory wise, smartest dismantling system I've seen in a game in a long time.
Yep.
Like really smart way that it deals with that in a way better than Destiny does.
So wait, real quick, while we're here, because there are people who haven't played yet and are going to explain to me how dismantling works in here.
So basically, in most games, you'll have to kind of go through each part, each thing you want to dismantle, click on it, mark it, and then hit a button to dismantle it. The way they do it in Outriders is everything has a type or a kind of level. So it's like the kind of general green, yellow, purple, blue system that you see in kind of most games, basing it on rarity of stuff. You basically have a couple of bars on the bottom right-hand side of the screen that delineate between those. You can click on that and it'll mark everything that's that rarity. And you can just hit another button and remove all of that from your inventory. Yeah. Super, super smart in the way that it deals with stuff like that. And going back to the conversation around the games of service part, this is a game that relieves me of having to worry about the games of service parts that I hate, which are the things in Destiny where I feel like I'm always behind the curve.
Yep.
Where I always feel like I have to go back and say, what did I miss? Is there a thing that I didn't do because I didn't have time to do it? This, I'll be able to jump back in when they throw a new content out and just jump back into that stuff, run through it, and it'll be done. And I love that part of it. I love that that's going to be a part of the way we look at this. Mike?
Yeah, I want to give some shout out to that. It's right, Khalif, right? The games and service aspect we've always talked about with Destiny of like, oh, it's raid time. A new strike is out. Oh, what gear level is that? I can't do that, right? And I hate that feeling. And the cool part about Outriders is that instantaneously switching between world tiers, right? So now when that new content comes out, I never feel like I'm holding back Greg or anybody back, because we can just kick it down the world tier. Go back there right away. Oh, Mike, you're doing a little bit better. Let's kick it up a little bit. And I feel like that really hits a sweet spot there that they should get a lot of kudos and credit for, because you're right. When I think of Destiny and these other games, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're not that maxed out gear level. Sorry, bro. Like, you can't play with us tonight. Yeah. Like, oh, and that sucks. Like,
and when I crank it down to go play in a lower world here with somebody, I don't feel like I'm wasting my time. Like, I'm still enjoying it. I'm still getting stuff and granted, like, levels and yada, 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 but at least resources. Cause again, like, to really, like, we talk about it being junk food. We talk about it being approachable, though, right? In a way, and I'll get to you in 1 second. Sorry, Andy. That isn't like, you know, sucking you in a way that, like, even I love the Division 2, but like, it took me a while to wrap my head around Division 2 and the recalibration table and storing things in the library and yada, 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 right? Like, the way Outriders is doing its system is very brilliant in terms of, like, you can change the rarity of the gear you have. You can't change it to the legendary. You have to find those out of drops, right? But you can get them to really high tiers, and then you can improve you can level them up to get better stats. You can level up the attributes on them, which is all just as simple as you can do this. But then on top of that are the mods. And the mods are able to be swapped in whenever you want to them. There's 3 different classes of them. They cost resources, obviously, to bring in, but you have a library you're building. And even today, where I was like, wait, like, I'm looking at everything and, like, I can sell everything to get titanium to upgrade the equipment I want to upgrade, but I also don't, I should be dismantling these to save mods, right? Well, I looked at the gear. I'm like, how can I tell if I've saved the mod? And real quick, just at a glance, if it has the little square then broken up into 4 different squares, that means it's in your mod library. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So break that down and that'll go into your library. And it's like, oh, like, this stuff is entry level enough that I don't have to overthink it and I don't have to read or watch a YouTube video to explain it. Like, and I, to the point of what we're talking about so far, and I granted, you know, I'm level capped, but I still have plenty to get and go and, you know, all the expeditions and world tiers. I don't feel like I'm like in Division, I sat on resources for so long. In Avengers, I am still sitting on resources that when they drop Black Panther and I want to immediately upgrade Black Panther, you know, I'm going to be able to do it kind of thing. Whereas in this one, I am like, oh, well, spend the titanium because I'm getting so much loot that I'm not getting anything out of. I can just sell that, get my shards, and then use that to set. Like, there's just a really great ecosystem in there. I'm sorry. Now, Andy, you wanted to jump in on something about this.
I was just going to mention that I wonder if the decision to not be a games as service and not have monetization built in, not have, you know, a sort of Eververse thing. I wonder if that decision was made to kind of lower the expectations of sales and stuff. Because I think when publishers make a game of games as a service and know that you have built-in monetization and know that not everybody's going to put their credit card up, but there will be the kind of golden gooses that say, oh, shit, I want to drop $500 on this in the next couple weeks or so.
Totally.
And I wonder if the decision to go away from that was to kind of like, well, we don't want to be put in the expectation tier of a games as a service type game. Well, like, we don't know how much this is going to sell, you know?
Let me bring in Mr. Leroy Williams, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, like many others, I decided to check out Outriders over the weekend, despite mixed reviews from a few people at Kind of Funny. I started with the demo, and I'm quite enjoying it. I was trying to figure out how long the demo lasts when I stumbled across the FAQ section of Outriders website. One question caught my attention. Is Outriders a games as a service? I thought the question was strange. It seemed to have an obvious answer, but the developer's response was surprising. Quote, no, Outriders will be a complete experience out of the box, end quote. This game has so many things in common with other games as a service that this doesn't make much sense to me. Outriders seems to essentially be Destiny/The Division/Borderlands, and despite saying it's a complete experience out of the box, I'm sure if it is successful, there will be expansions. What's your take on what's going on here? Are they trying to avoid the stigma of half-baked games like Anthem, Fallout 76, Avengers? And what defines a games as service in 2021? A battle pass? I remember when this went up, and I remember all of us talking about it. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, over on XCast, you guys had a long conversation about this. And I think it was Paris who was like, if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck, it's probably a duck kind of thing. But now that we're here and we're playing it, I feel like I understand what they were going for. That it's not a games as a service in the same way we're talking about. And Mike, you said it yourself. In 2 weeks, we're going to be done. We're going to have, I think, moved on. I will probably. I'm trying to platinum it. So once I go through and do that, I don't know how much I'll be turning it on. Does that sound right for what you're thinking, Mike? Do you think this is a games as a service?
No, Greg, I think this weekend with it has really changed my thought process on games as a service. But of course, we've had these conversations on the Kind of Funny XCast. Games as a service, as it's evolved, right? There's a lot of gray in between, right? You can go either way on certain games. And I think Andy put it quite well with the monetization, the expectations, right? And there is a lot of, like, if that game came out and it was seen as a games as a service and it didn't hit the good battle pass, great monetization techniques with customization and so forth, we would be slamming this game, right? But yeah. Now after a weekend with it, I've actually changed my tone where it's like, okay, I understand what they mean by no, this isn't a games as a service. This is Borderlands or Diablo. Here it is. This is the campaign. You're going to play it. You're going to beat it. We got a little bit of extra stuff at the end and you're done, right? I'm not expecting, hey, there's going to be a raid. There's going to be 7 dungeons throughout the next 3 months, right? I have no expectations now for this game besides what I have played right here in front of me. And that's it, which is really good for them because as Andy's going to finish out here, it's like, I was going to give them the moon, right? I was going to look at them and be like, hey, if you can't reach Destiny levels, you're gone, right? We're going to see it just like we've seen other games. You're out of the league now. And so they did a good job here.
Andy?
I also think that this is one of those games that, you know, I'm not trying to do the watch the first 6 seasons and it gets really, really good in season 7 TV thing.
Yeah.
But I definitely think this is a game that gets better around hour 5 or 6. And once it opens up and those systems open up, and I knew that when Bless and I did the second demo, I remember talking to the dude who lets you modify. And I was like, oh, yeah. I haven't gotten to modification yet. Mm-hmm. And I remember loving that and being really interested in it and seeing how those systems kind of work and trying to learn that. And not that it's this overcomplicated thing, but it's exciting because it's a brand new kind of doorway being opened. And once that opened up, not only are you not fighting kind of the same humanoid things, but then creatures start being involved and then they have their own kind of move sets. And the game just gets infinitely more interesting gameplay wise, I think, around hour 5 or 6. Once you, now you will still encounter the humanoid type characters or whatever, but I just think the game has really, really nicely designed arenas for cover. And I know some people are like, oh, you don't even have to stand in cover. Like I do. I love sniping. I love
technomancer.
Yeah, if you're the technomancer,
I love popping out and like, I see the sniper scope from the people when they're, and then it's like, oh, he's not looking at me. Bam, pop that head. And like, it feels so good gameplay wise.
I'm sorry, 1 second. I'm checking my notes. Is it safe to say you like clicking heads?
I do. Okay. Yeah. I sure love doing that. What's up, Bless?
Blessing.
Yeah, I think a thing that's nice about them not committing to the games as a service thing is pretty much what Andy just said, is that the game pretty much gets to be a video game as video game. They don't have to think about things beyond the future. They can kind of just do whatever they want in this iteration.
It's
in the
a
game.
Co-op shooter.
Yeah, it's a co-op shooter. And to the mod thing, right? I remember us both like talking to the person during our demo and us both being like, oh, yeah, there are mods. Oh, shit. Like, this seems like it goes pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they can kind of go crazy with it. And that's the thing that I appreciate, because I keep bringing this up, that when I say the game is a video game as video game, right? Like, you can pick up shoes as gear and the shoes will let your turret last 6 seconds longer. And it's like, the fuck does that mean? Like, how does that make any sense? But in the context of the video game, like, you throw context out and it's like, cool, we get what this is. We don't care. We're just gonna let it do what it wants to do. Yeah. And once you do that, it becomes really fun, because it does turn into this thing of, oh yeah, I'm sure by the time we get to the end of the game or whatever the end game is, or if there's a raid at the end of the game, I have no idea what awaits. But when we get to the hard stuff, that is they call it expeditions. Once we get there, I mean, I'm so excited, because I know for a fact that when we get there, I'm gonna want to clear my skill tree, probably respec everything, figure out how I want to play.
This
find
is
the mods
this
I want
to
use.
This is where I think the game is succeeding at something I didn't expect, and why the game's something special. Because we're talking about all these mechanics and stuff, and obviously, I hope at this point you've seen Outriders gameplay. You know, third person shooter, superpowers kind of thing. And for me, it was Andy being like, "You're gonna love this game, Greg." We jumped in when the demo came. We played it on stream, and it was all of us having a good time, talking to each other, running around shooting. But I walked away being like, this didn't seem special. I don't get what it is. And then to Blessing's early point, for me, the change was I went and did stuff with IGN, where I went over and filmed a Let's Play with Brian Altano, Alfredo from Achievement Hunter, and me, kind of as like this little IGN reunion of us doing a squad. And on it was one of the developers from People Can Fly. And so we were thrown into highest difficulty world tier, legendary items. You're out there. And I mean, I was getting my fucking teeth kicked in. And the guy was like, oh, well, you know, like, you're a I was playing Pyromancer. And then he's like, you know, you only heal by burning. And then it was like, I switched, you know, here as I'm playing as Trickster, you're only healing by getting up close and doing damage there. And like, wrapping my head around the fact that, like, I played the beginning of the game in the demo like I was playing The Division, where it was run, slam into cover, gears even, like, pop over, shoot, and to learn, like, oh, that's not how these classes play and understand that, I was like, oh, okay, and it changed the way I did and made me start playing the game that way. So when I got it here, rolled Trickster to have the slowdown powers and do all that, it was this drip feed of, cool, I'm getting in there, I understand up close, I have, you know, the bubble to expand to slow down time, and then it was, you start unlocking your abilities all the way up through level 22 and finding those and falling into, you know, Blessing and I talked to and Joey about Ratchet and Clank and how I like to stick with one set of moves and one set of weapons. I was sticking with those same three skills for a lot of my time in Outriders. And then it was, and the way I keep describing these arenas that Andy brought up is, they're arenas and in some ways they scratch the itch for me that puzzle games do of, I run in there and I die over and over and over again, and I'm like, all right, but if I just would have had this skill when I got to this captain, I could have changed it up. And so it suddenly becomes, oh, I want this different, I'm going to bring in a different skill. I need to
manage your cooldowns.
I need to be doing more damage. I look at the skills
keeping
for
the
ones
interrupts
that,
for the recharges and stuff.
Exactly. And so, like, this is a game that doesn't penalize, it costs nothing to respec. You can go in and change your moves, and it's awesome that way of, now I'm so deep into that system that I'm like, all right, cool, what I want to do tonight is pour a bourbon, sit there and go through all my mods and find the mods that go to my temporal blades that make me go faster. Khalif, your hand's been up, then we're coming to Blessing. I want you all to know I love this episode of the Outriders. I'm so sad that Tim had to die so we could have this episode of Games.
I know. The thing that I love about this game so much, and it didn't turn for me until I got a very specific mod, which was called Bone Shredder or Bone Shrapnel. And basically, you kill a thing, and it turns that enemy's bones into shrapnel that then explodes into everybody else that you wind up hitting. And I was wait a minute. This game has no meta. And that's awesome, because I never have to think about it. Yes. And that's the thing that is so very cool, where, again, the idea around going back and when you lose a fight of saying, I could do this now because I understand that, oh, this doesn't fit the situation in the way that it needs to, feels extremely good, because that ties directly to world level too, where you're like, oh, okay, if I do this at this world level, I may be able to get away with this. If I do this at this other one, I'm going to get wrecked. And then being able to go through all the other weapons that I have and say, well, okay, this weapon fires at this rate, but I need it to do this kind of damage because I like the way those two synergies work together. Like, I dismantled a legendary weapon last night because I was like, I got it and it was great, but it doesn't do anything in the way that I play.
Sure. And it feels like an outrageous thing, right? In another game, that would be like such a mistake. But I feel like here, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, people would crap on you. You say that out loud. They were like, well, why would you do that? You got that legendary. Why would you ever do that? I was like, it literally doesn't do what I needed to do for the situations and the playstyle that I have. So I can do that and then insert a different mod that actually makes that gun better. The no meta thing is such a beautiful thing. And that also goes back to what Mike was talking about in terms of kind of the Destiny role that this game kind of plays. And the fact that you don't have to worry about balance is also a thing there too. There's no multiplayer. You don't have to think about that. Yeah. So all that balance that would usually have to go across weapons and go across mods, you never have to think about, which is dope.
Blessing, you wanted to jump in before. Hold on. Blessing, you still got something to say on this?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, to piggyback off of the no meta thing, I think I do think that is very accurate when you're talking about this game. Like, the other day, I unlocked dual wield pistols that both freeze my enemies, but then also does like anomaly damage or some bullshit. And so like I was using that to shred through like multiple levels, and that was my go-to gun. But then like eventually I found something else, and I was like, cool, I guess I'll just move on with that. It seems like there is no how Destiny would always have those guns that is like, all right, here's the one gun that you need to get so that if you want to play at the highest level, this is the one you go to.
When everybody was running Gallahorn, when there was that Gallahorn. One weekend where there was the laser in Destiny 2 that was broken.
I was going to say Bjornborg.
Yeah, there's like another one I think called Midas or something that used to rock in Destiny. But like, Outriders is so messy that it doesn't seem to have that. A thing I wanted to bring up also about gameplay in the game, and this piggybacks off of what Greg was talking about in terms of how arenas start to feel like puzzles. It feels like the game very much is inspired by Doom in that instance, because the game wants you to be aggressive, and being aggressive is how you attain health. Doom does the exact same thing, both Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, where you would have to get glory kills in order order to get health. You would have to do your fire attack in order to get ammo and shit like that. Outriders seems to function the exact same way. And I saw somebody on Twitter tweet that the cover in Outriders isn't for you. Like, it's for your enemies. You want to be mobile. You want to be going around. Unless you're like me and Andy and you're a Technomancer, then you might want to use cover every now and then. But for the most part, you want to be mobile. You want to get in their face. And I think that is a thing that I'm very happy it took that inspiration, because enough shooters don't take that inspiration from Doom. And it makes for a game that is more about those combat puzzles and figuring out who you want to take out first and what order in order to get past it, which I think is a very beautiful thing.
Getting to play last night, I played with Paris and Khalif, and last night was the most fun I've had playing the game, where it was the first time that I was introduced to bounties. I didn't know that was a thing in the game. Mm-hmm. It's such a simple thing. It's not like I'm not, you know, trying to praise people can fly for having just like hunt down this person or go
what an unheard of move. Yeah. What an unheard of kind of side mission.
Or go find this animal, right?
Yeah,
go hunt this thing, you know. And that was so much fun because I got incredible loot, and then Paris and Khalif had to bounce. So then I played solo and tried going through some more story stuff. And it was such a fun, challenging time. I lost like twice, and I was like, do I want to drop the world tier?
Hell
like,
no.
I'm so close. I know I can fucking do it. And I ended up like, I'd go into the fight, and then I would fall back when I needed to get more sort of space to work with. And it was so much fucking fun doing it solo. And I had plenty of people in chat. Hey, can I play this solo? And I know they recommend to play it with friends. However, I think if you can find a good balance with world tier and you don't want to be too overwhelmed, and also just based on my experience, playing solo performs a lot better, like flawlessly when it comes to frame drops and not having any issues, because it looks gorgeous and it feels fantastic to play. I have a suggestion for people who can fly if they're listening right now.
You know they are.
I hope they are. A suggestion when it comes to, because we talk about the Borderlands sort of leveling issues, right? You know how Borderlands just hop in and you just all level out and it doesn't really matter what level you are. Greg could be 91 and I could be 2 and it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Greg.
I want to bring in a question because I know where you're driving. We talked a little bit about this on stream. Squeezle23 wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, for Outriders, how has the world tier system worked for you? I've hit a couple of roadblocks on missions where I was given a tip to try lowering the world tier for difficulty purposes, but always saw that as a cop-out. Has anyone addressed their difficulty tier? And if so, how has that worked for you? Now, but back into your line because I know where you're going. Because Borderlands 3, of course, one of the big things was I can be level 30, Joey can be level 2, Blessing can be 17. We can all come together and we're fighting the same battles that are the right difficulty for us.
And we talked about this on stream, and I love the accessibility of that. However, it feels fake to me. It feels like there are no consequences. I love that anybody could just hop in, and Greg, who works 90 hours a week and he's got 7 kids at home, and he says, dang, I only have these 30 minutes I could play with my friends, but I can hop in and have a fun time. That's fucking great for Greg working 80 hours a week. But it feels fake. It doesn't feel like it's like there's any, I don't know, like you're not really facing consequence if you're just playing at your level. Go ahead, Ka.
The thing that goes back to both what you said and what Greg was talking about, and it's the reason why I was playing with a friend of mine, top tier, over on Twitch, and we were running through it, and we were both talking about not lowering the levels, and we said, why would you not lower the levels? And I was like, because I get to go into every fight after I've lost and make the mental recalibration of how I then need to take on this fight, whether that means I need to back up and turtle, whether that means I need to swap out mods, whether that means I need to swap out skills. It gives me the ability to actually change the way I'm taking on a fight. That is not something that I have to worry about from a difficulty standpoint. It is all about me adjusting to what's happening, as opposed to me making the game adjust to me, which I think is a lot of fun.
But it's the same conversation. I swear I'm not going anywhere else because I love this and I love what's happening. I do appreciate that it's there.
Yeah, because
when I was trying to meet again, I don't know if I've said this in this podcast yet. I apologize if I have. Me and Mike beat the campaign last night. No big deal.
Wow,
we beat it.
And the night before, I was making this push with two kind of funny best friends who had answered my call on Twitter, and we got to a part that was run your head into the wall over and over. And I gave it 5 or 6 tries, and I was like, it is 11:45 and I am already exhausted and I'd like to beat this. And so I knocked it down, right? Yep. And it was that I have been in that run. I want to that challenge and I want to feel it. And in a different world, I would sit there on a Saturday all day in front of me and figure it out and grind it out and, you know, go level and come back to it. But in that moment, I wanted to change it up and I did, and I didn't feel bad. Sorry, back to it, 80.
Yeah, I think lowering the level, totally fine. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I think a way that people can fly can maybe find an in-between when it comes to wanting to play with your friends is here's a suggestion. It's me and Greg. We're playing. We're both level 20. Bless wants to hop in. He's a level 12. I think what it should do is, instead of scaling to the enemies to then fit for three people, I think you keep it for two people scaling enemy-wise, right? Mm. But unless you're within like five levels of each other. So maybe when Bless hits like level 15 or level 16 and we're both level 22s or whatever, then you raise the enemy level to then scale for three players as opposed to the two that were just there. Mm. I think that could be a neat in-between. If Ka's a level 20 and I'm a level 5, I hop into Ka's world, but only have enemies there scaling for one player in the world, right? And so it could be a neat in-between. And then once I kind of catch up, then say, all right, Andy, you've caught up to the appropriate level now. Now here's enough enemies for the both of you. I think that could be kind of a neat workaround. As opposed to Borderlands, just hop in whenever you want. You know,
Of course. Mm. Joey, I'm able to see everybody else when they're nodding along or disapproving. How are you feeling? Is everything we're saying resonating with you in terms of the world tier system? Have you experimented with it? Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. I move it up and down constantly, depending on who I'm playing with, if I'm playing by myself, and kind of like what encounters I'm in. I feel like I usually go through and try it on whatever the default one that I'm on the first time. And then if I get like halfway and I think I can figure it out, then I do. What I appreciate about what this does is that you don't have to go so far into the settings to adjust it that it makes you feel like you're cheating.
Yeah.
It's just right there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, this feels like a purposeful placement that you're supposed to kind of waver back
and it was mentioned
also feel like cheating
and to call it out, right? Like, I know Mike mentioned it, but I think you've seen in other games, like, this is not all right. If you change the difficulty, you have to reload the checkpoint. Like, you can be mid fight and be like, all right, there's just too many captains, and like, and that's the other thing too, is it dynamically is spawning those amounts based on what world tier you're at and stuff like that. You can dial it down so if they're already spawned, get weaker or whatever, and you can get out of that fight even with them rather than have to, you know, die and do it. But it's instantaneous, no loading, no weird stuff to go for.
And it doesn't call you out for it, which is great too. Like a lot of games do, where they make you wear the chicken hat or they make you do all the other kind of stuff where it's like you're penalized for dropping it down a little bit.
And that's the thing, is they do such a great job with it, right? Is like the world tier shows, when you go to the menu to choose which one you want, it's showing you how many levels the enemies will gain, right? So it's not that you're taking away enemies' levels to make them easier. You're starting from what is equal, and then you're already adding stuff to it from it.
Yeah, cool one that we've brought up is the gameplay, and I really like it. Of like Andy has talked about playing by himself, and Khalif has talked about different strategies going in. I think it is one of those games where you and your friends are going to just start mindlessly killing, right? You're going to find that sweet spot where you're just gunning things down. Nobody speaks for like 15 minutes because you're in the zone. And then eventually you're going to hit a wall. And the coolest part about this game and the different abilities and how you can switch them on the fly is like, you can be like, hold up a second, guys. Like, we need to figure this out. We're doing it wrong, right? And me and Greg had a perfect one. We were playing a little bit higher than we should have been because I was a little bit lower than him. I said, Greg, use your slow-mo ability in this death tunnel and let's bottleneck them through here, right? And
then Earthquake. This is what I'm talking about in the game where it was like I was running down there and we were with somebody else who wasn't on Discord with us. And I was slamming. We're getting too spread out. There's snipers across the way. And then it was spawning two or three captains that ran out. And you were the one of like, hold up, like this next time, fall back. Let's draw them to the tunnel. And we draw them up the tunnel and we had this kill zone that we could just work on. And then you were like, go down. It's like that kind of, again, puzzle mechanic. And it isn't a puzzle mechanic. It's just tactical. And it's just a way that I usually don't play these. When I fucking play Borderlands, and I love Borderlands, don't get me wrong, it is very much of running in there, blowing everything up, my shield explodes and blows people back, and I'm trying to figure it out. Whereas this can be that, but it can also be so much more. Andy?
I can already tell, last night I unlocked several more skills that I kind of forgot I had unlocked because I love my skills so much because they are so...
That toxic turret?
They also, I haven't gotten that one yet. Plus, but I did unlock the heal your squad mates thing, and I was like, "Oh, this will be great when we get into expedition mode." And you all, you know, I got to carry all my back, you know, because I'm the support guy, but I'm clicking.
Seems like we were doing that to you yesterday on stream.
Go ahead, Bless. Sorry.
Well, to piggyback a little bit off of Mike, right? Like, that's the thing that I think is so awesome is I've had the healing ability as the Technomancer for a while now. And just yesterday, I was playing with Danny Pena and Ree. And not once were they like, hey, Bless, I need you to heal me. Hey, like, come through, like, drop your heals. Like, I never had any of that because the game, like we've mentioned before, the game is so kind of messy that you don't really get I don't really have a sense of what Ree's or Danny's abilities are. I know they don't really have a sense of what my abilities are, aside from the fact that I drop turrets, but I do identify the times where I'm like, okay, cool, I should heal them here because it seems like their health is getting low. And you have that freedom of working together, but then also not feeling so pressured that you feel bad when you miss a heal or you feel like somebody else is stepping to them.
It's that Overwatch support class.
Yeah, exactly.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. Malcontent wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, imagine a shooter releasing in 2021 without regenerating health. Outriders not only pulls it off, it creates a fabulously unique situation in which you are always the aggressor. Not only do you have to kill to stay alive, you can stay alive as long as you can kill. I'm a teleporting shotgun assassin, and no shooter has felt this good since, well, Destiny first launch. I almost wish it was a live service. I can't get enough.
It goes to that point, too, where I was talking about that with the folks I was playing with last night before we jumped on with Andy. And I was like, oh, yeah, there really isn't a healer class and there really isn't an aggro class because you're not supposed to have things come to you. You're supposed to go to it.
Which is
actually really interesting in that respect, too. Like, you would think Devastator class would be the aggro tanky one, but there isn't a tanky one because they want you to die. And they want you to move forward to kind of get the health.
Oh, I let things come to me, man. Again, playing offline, or, you know, always online, but playing single player, because it works so smoothly, it is sniping heaven. And it feels so good where I unlocked a sniper last night that is not the bolt action, but it is the one shot rifle, I believe. And it isn't a zoom in scope, but it does like zoom in pretty good when you do ADS. And bullets will, if I hit headshots, it crits and bullets will ricochet to enemies within 5 meters. It's just like the game gives you so many cool little reasons to want to keep playing. And it reminds me of, honestly, playing like Hades or Loop Hero and getting all of these little modifications like, oh, let me try this level and see what I could do with this new thing that I've just unlocked, you know?
I'm telling you, man, I'm pouring that glass of bourbon tonight. I'm going to go in there and start tinkering.
I'm about to get on there with you.
Yeah, close me out here, Mike, on this thought, and then I want to get an ad read in here.
It is cool. More towards Khalif right there. Like he said right there, is no, like, tank and healer, but it is cool of, like, being on that Devastator side, Khalif. I am up in people's faces, but there's also move settings where, like, I can fall back and, like, you've noticed there's no crawl mechanic when you're downed, right? But I have a wall that will catch bullets and I can shoot back, right? I also have the golem and I also have this one reverberation where, like, if I'm in the middle of people, I life suck from all of them and I can pop the golem. And, like, there is moments and different, like, cool play styles you can do where it's like, oh, everybody get behind me. Hold up a second, right? And, like, I really love that. And that's one thing we'll talk about probably in just a little bit. It's like, I think there is a little bit on the single player side that I don't like punishment wise, where there is no free revives. When you play with your friends, it's interesting because, like, everybody is spread out and you are in the action. That's why I feel like they give you that free revive and there's no crawl, right? Where it's like, hey, you fell down and you can't crawl to your friends or hide behind cover. Just pick yourself back up. And then there I am in single player and it's like, I just went down and I'm so used to multiplayer because that's what they want you to play. And it's over and you restart and you're like, what's that, right? Like, that's a weird transition there. That's like, I'd love to ask them, like, why did we not put that in the single player or why do we have it in the multiplayer? Because it is so night and day difference between the two of those moments.
Traveling also feels a little convoluted.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's like I can fast travel around the flags in the map I'm in, but if I want to leave this map and go to a different area, I fast travel to the flag at camp and then talk to the person with the car, and then the car can take me to the bigger map, and then once I'm into the news, it's like, yeah,
well, and then, why can't 30 cutscenes later.
I accidentally did a really old quest yesterday because I didn't realize that if I wanted to find my main quest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it looks new, and I was like, okay, well, it's a list of quests. I guess it's my first one that I have to do. That's my main one. But actually, I had a tab to the second page, which had my main quest, which I feel like is such a weird decision.
And let alone the map system in general for the local area map. The amount of times I'm like, all right, I fast traveled here. I want to do this. Ah, crap. All right. Well, it looks like my back. There's no like real representation. Yeah. I'm like, I think this. And I go and I look. I'm like, no, went the opposite way. So now I come out and stick to my left. Yeah, Mike.
I gave it a lot of credit during the beta of like, I love the little GTA map tracker when you press up on the D-pad and it will show you where to go, right?
Yeah.
But there is a number of missions that it will not spawn and show you the correct way. And I want to give some, I'm going to give a nice little shout out to my boy Washburn, who's trying to get me out in the live chat with Patreons. It's like, there was three moments there where like, it didn't track right. And he's like, what the hell is going on here? And like, thankfully I'd played the mission. I'm like, it doesn't track right. We have to go over here and like take a side. And it's like, you have such a perfect system, but then it breaks down a couple of times where it's like, what the heck is happening here? Why is it doing that?
And yeah, there was
the
definitely
map is
some
just so weird.
There were some missions last night that were broken for me, Khalif, and Paris, where we had gone to this thing. I think we all died, so it spawned us back, and then we couldn't go back up the rope that got us to that mission.
Yeah. Yep.
The, like, it said, too. Here's the rope, but you can't go back up. So that's like obviously bugs. But last night, as I continued playing solo, I ended up going to that area where you fight like the mother something. It's like this big monster.
Oh, the broodmother. Yeah.
The broodmother. Yeah. Ended up fighting that enemy. I mean, that's something that I think we did during the first demo we ever did, during the first event. And that was a lot of fun. Finding those enemies was a blast and having their different movesets and they all sort of do different things. And then you realize, oh, Moloch killed our boy Seth. This is wild. Spoilers, by the way. Who gives a shit?
trust me, you're gonna be like, I don't know who then, fucking Seth is. I don't know what's happening.
And then when you round the corner, you see the Outriders logo. Oh, that's the thing that I use for fast travel. Let me hit the tab button, and it tells me to go backwards. Why? What's backward? Where is it leading me? No, it's just leading me to the start of the level. No, fuck that. Let me just go back to the Outriders logo. So yeah, the tracker thing, genius in theory when implemented well, and when it doesn't work, it's just kind of useless.
For now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of our shows over there. You can watch live as we record them. You can get them with the exclusive post show. But more importantly for you right now, you can get our shows ad-free. But guess what? You're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So let's hear a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast is brought to you by Upstart. When it comes to paying off debt, it can often feel like an uphill battle. High interest rates resulting in minimum monthly payments keeps you in an endless cycle of debt. Upstart can get you ahead. Are you carrying a credit card balance month after month? You're not the only one. High interest rates make it hard to pay off your debt, but Upstart can help. Join the thousands of happy borrowers who made that final payment. Do you dread looking at your credit card statement every month? We don't blame you. Upstart can lift that weight off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being credit card debt-free. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score. They look at your income and employment history. That means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. I talk about this all the time. You probably heard it on PS I Love You, but it's always true. When I moved to San Francisco, I had to take out a loan and Upstart wasn't around yet. And so I took one out and they did not look at my employment history or my income. Instead, they tried to look at my credit rating, which was not good. And I got a bad interest rate, which meant I had the debt a lot longer than I needed to. Upstart would help me back in the day if it existed then, but it didn't. But now if it did, if I needed it, I would do it. You should do it too. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. We've been talking here critically. You know, we talk about some of the things that this game gets wrong. We are now welcoming to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Steve Saylor, the blind gamer. Hello, Steve.
Wow.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
thank you, Steve, for coming on, of course, on short notice. Earlier this year, you had hit us up and you're like, hey, you guys talking about accessibility all the time on shows, but you never have any of the accessibility experts on. And I was like, well, it's always short term. We don't think about it and then it happens or there's some story that breaks, but we're about to go live. And literally, as we were getting ready to sit down today and do the Outriders review, the one, the only James Davis at James Davis Makes hit up the Kind of Funny Gamescast thread and was like, hey, Steve Saylor just posted a video about accessibility and how it's breaking his heart for Outriders. What do you guys think about it? And I was like, I don't need to think at all about it. I can bring Steve on here. This is what we were talking about. Steve wants to help out more in 2021. I'm all about it. Steve, where are you at with Outriders?
So here's the thing. I want to love this game really, really badly. The story, the gameplay, the combat is just extremely fun. And it's everything that I would kind of want in this type of game.
Sure.
It's unfortunate that the accessibility kind of doesn't meet that fun level. There are a lot of things that are missing. And they tried to do a few things. There is an accessibility menu, but there are a lot of things that are missing and kind of weird that they don't really work that well, that unfortunately kind of makes it extremely frustrating for someone like myself and like to be able to play. It kind of adds extra barriers to the gameplay that I'm having to get past, and sort of my disability kind of gets in the way. Stuff like the auto aim, there is an option there to turn it on, but I have yet to actually see if it works or not, because it doesn't. There's stuff like subtitles are too small, the text is just atrociously small across the board. Even with the enlarged text size that's there, it's very negligible as far as what it actually increases. There's a lot of difficulty even trying to be able to aim even with the auto aim, because if I feel like the because I play it on console, so I play on controller. Sure. I feel that the sensitivity on the thumbsticks is really sticky, in that I want to be able to make slight movements. And I want to be able to try to aim down sights, but for some reason it just kind of moves me a mile away from where the enemy is. And I know people are going to say play on mouse and keyboard, but I'm not built that way, and it's easier for me to play on controller.
Also, Steve, you have taste. It's fine.
Steve, one day you'll see the light.
I'm with you, Steve. I'm rocking.
Well, here's the thing.
That's right, Khalif.
I can't see the light, so there's that problem.
That's literally the problem.
That's the problem, yes.
So James Davis' question was this, Steve, when he wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Do you think Outriders will ever make the game more accessible? With games like The Last of Us 2 having so many options, it's disappointing to see a game have none. I thought Tealoo 2 would have been the catalyst, but here we are. Obviously, Steve, Last of Us 2 got so much deserved praise for its bevy of options for accessibility. Do you think that this is just a game that was already in production at the same time and then didn't get to see that? Do you think, as much as we've applauded People Can Fly in the Outriders account for being so vocal and reactive this weekend, do you think this is something you'd see change?
Well, yeah. And full disclosure, I was one of the consultants on The Last of Us 2. So I do know.
Money hat.
At least, yeah. PlayStation chill. So I did get to see kind of how they implemented their accessibility settings, and what it looks like that the difference between Tealoo 2 and Outriders is that it kind of seems that Outriders started with accessibility a little bit later on in production. Whenever we're consulting with studios, we generally try to be able to encourage to be able to start with accessibility from the beginning, because a lot of times when you're having to lock down features before accessibility, a lot of those features are not able to be changed or edited later on to accommodate. It is possible that Outriders could become more accessible. We are seeing more updates and patches from games and studios that are adding more accessibility in. Ghost of Tsushima had that. Outer Worlds actually was notorious for having extremely small text. But it took a developer to basically be like, you know what, let's see if we can be able to add the ability to increase text size in that game. And 2 months later, Obsidian released a patch that would allow you to do that. And it allowed me to go in and actually enjoy that game. So I think there is that possibility, but it would really depend on how much was locked down before they tried to be able to implement accessibility. Square Enix is kind of starting on their accessibility journey. They did a little bit with Avengers and in Tomb Raider, but they haven't really sort of, it seems that they don't really have a lot of evangelists for accessibility in Square Enix as a whole. To try to be able to kind of encourage that from the beginning. And that's a thing, too, is that with a lot of people thinking, oh, The Last of Us 2 kind of solved accessibility. It did to a certain degree. But we're not going to be able to see the true impact of that until about 5, possibly even 10 years from now, just because of how long it takes for games to be in development. And more than likely, Last of Us 2 was early in the development before Outriders was.
Sure. From the ground up kind of thing, right? That they
exactly.
designed. Yeah. Well, Steve, that sucks. I want you to enjoy this game. We all like this game quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's and there's some really cool stuff that's in there that I think is should be applauded, even for accessibility. Like the beacon system that's in there for navigation is superb. It's like one of those features that I would love to be able to see in other games, and makes it a lot easier to be able to, for me to be able to know exactly where I need to go. The high contrast mode that is in there for the menus is really good. The ability to decrease the difficulty in the world tier yep. is a neat novel concept. I think probably the only negative I have of that is that if you do go down to a lower tier, so it's a little bit easier for you to be able to play, you're not unlocking those high-end items that you can be able to get if you're in those higher tiers, which is unfortunate. And that kind of is something you don't really want to be able to have these higher end items in a higher difficulty, and that kind of locks out a certain group of players. So there's stuff there that there's like nuggets of like really good accessibility, but with Outriders case, it unfortunately just didn't make launch.
Well, yeah, and that'll be the interesting thing to see what happens after launch and see if they're, you know, they say they're going to be responsive. Obviously, they've been responsive with the server stuff and all that. But what happens with the patches? They're already talking about this, you know, PC console one, of course. We'll have to wait and see.
Steve, yeah. Real quick. What? Let's say people can fly hit you up and they say, hey, we have enough, bandwidth to work on one thing immediately right now. We can get it done in a week. What's the first thing you ask for?
Ooh, that would be essentially a combination. Oh, man. Oh, it's hard to be between the two.
Let's say like a perfect world. They'll say, we'll try to get to the other stuff, too, obviously. But like we have time yeah. for one thing right now. One. Yeah,
I would say large text. That's been something that has been plaguing a lot of games as of late. And it is like there's a lot of lore that I want to get into this game, but I can't read it because I can't see it. And that needs to change, not just in Outriders, but just across the board.
Yeah, in general.
But yeah, that would say like that would probably be my number one priority. And then I've got another list. If Outriders, you want to contact me, let me know.
That's got to be something that these game engines kind of build built in. They have to sort of build these things in just from the start without having like the need to do crazy customization to the game. Like these, I feel like if the engines kind of had these more simple solutions at the start, I feel like it would be easier to implement those changes just kind of more on the fly.
Oh, exactly. Like the example I gave of Outer Worlds, a little bit of the behind the scenes stories of that was that there was one developer that saw the feedback of people saying it had really small text. He went into the engine and was able to, within an afternoon, actually implement a feature that would increase the font size across the board. But it took 3 months to be able to fix all the UI bugs that it caused. And so like, yes, like Epicity was able to give them resources and it actually made into the first patch that came out. But not a lot of studios will want to be able to sort of dedicate to that because they're either already working on future DLC or just their next project. So it really depends on kind of how much they're willing to dedicate to stuff like that. But yeah, it's it can be done in certain engines and some can't. There's a whole legacy in engines and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a whole behind the scenes of that too.
Well, Steve, if people want to keep up with you and help out in the cause, where can they find you?
You can be able to find me on Twitter at Steve Saylor or twitch.tv/blindgamersteve or on YouTube, youtube.com/snowball.
Steve, thank you so much for coming in today.
No problem.
On the short notice. It works. See, I knew if we started texting each other about this, we could make it happen. We did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll see
you. You never text you. You never call me back. You know, I'm disappointed.
I can call you, man. I'll call you tonight. You
know? I mean, Tim did. Greg did.
3 in the morning, bus going to ring him.
He's going to get a ring. What time is it? What time is it? Steve?
Well, 3 in the morning would be 6 a.m., so I'll be just with the time I'm waking up.
Yeah,
I'm
good.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, man, at 10 p.m. tonight, for me, expect a call. That's all. Okay. All right.
We'll see you later, Steve.
All right. Take care, guys. Steve.
Take it easy.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
Talking about expansions, future, what it could be, patches and all that jazz, I want to do this. I want to know how much longer, and I'm going to go to Joey with this one, but there's a little bit of a lead-in. How much longer are you expecting to play this game? What's your future plan for Outriders, right? Lucid Dream wrote in and said this. What keeps you going in a game like this when the story isn't working for you? I tried the demo and was really interested in the world and the story they were setting up. Until the flash forward, and it turned into just everything that's a poor man's Mad Max. Gameplay seems cool, if not a bit clunky, probably better with teammates. But I was so turned off by the change in tone, I put it down near to return. I think this is interesting because we're all talking about, like, we've glossed over it. Like, as somebody who's seen the story through, right? Like, I like the setup of it, right? Of, like, where we need to, it's basically Mass Effect Andromeda. We Earth's dead. We've come here. We need to establish a colony. We get down there. It's not what we thought. And then guess what? You're put on ice for 30-some years. You wake up, and, like, the people you had just seen that are younger, 30 years older, all hell's broken loose. Like, that's all I needed. And playing through, and, like, when Mike was like, what are we doing here? I'm like, well, this thing's doing that and that. I don't even remember this character's name. Abigail, I think. I don't know. She, like, there's all these different moving pieces that I don't, I always, you know, talk about being the story whore. I play video games because I want to be part of that. That's all I want. Hit me with these stories. Tell me all sorts of things. And that's not what this game is about. Even, like, me and Mike talking over a cutscene or whatever, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And doing a thing today, like, I was, like, doing a side mission where at the end, you know, this guy just wanted to blow everything up. And I'm like, all right, I forget what his deal was, but, you know, blah, blah. For me, it's the gameplay loop, but it does bring the question of what everybody's future plans are for it. Joey, how long, what's your goal with Outriders?
So I do want to unlock the, like, final world level tier, which is 15, right?
Wow. Okay. Something.
That would be my goal.
Love
but
it.
That's predicated based on what other games are coming out that are going to inevitably distract me from this, and how long are other people playing? Because I do have fun when I play by myself, but I feel like I always have to knock it down at least one or two world levels when I do play by myself. So that is not going to be great for unlocking more world tiers. So it kind of depends on those two things. I feel like I'm the only other thing that I have on my radar right now that I can think of off the top of my head is, like, the new Pokemon Snap that comes out at the end of the month. But, like,
sure,
I don't think that's going to really tear me away.
Dominate your hours.
And there's such different types of games that I feel like I won't be in the mood to play that.
Blessing, what does it look like for you in terms of how much you're going to play this?
I think it depends on what some of the end game looks like, because right now I'm having fun, but the story isn't enough for me to carry me through. And so it's a combination of, does this game continue to stay fun? And then do I feel motivated to play with friends so we can play the end game and play the expeditions? And how fun do those end up being? Is that combined with a little bit of what Joey's saying of, all right, what's on the horizon? And for me, it is right now we are playing Disco Elysium for PS I Love You. And so I'm enjoying that at the same time. But then also in a few weeks, we're going to get Nier Replicant, and I'm going to definitely want to play that. The week after that, we're going to get Returnal, and I'm going to want to try that out. And then soon after that, we're going to get Mass Effect Trilogy, I want to jump into. And I know that's going to take a while to chew on. And then right after that, we're going to get Deathloop. And so there are games that are
warming up.
Yeah, we're warming up right now in terms of game releases. And I feel like by the time we hit Nier Replicant, which is coming out April 23rd, and so that's a couple weeks away, that might be it for me in this game. Thankfully, there's nothing between now and then that's really pulling my attention in that disco, and I think I can juggle these two games at the same time for now.
Yeah, Joshy G actually wrote in during the show live and said, is there endgame content to this, or do you beat it and it's done? Mike and I finished the story last night, and that opened up Expeditions, which is a brand new map with a whole bunch of different objectives and a new different tiered system in terms of difficulty that you unlock as you play. And then what it is it's all time-based. You have to go through this, and if you beat it by this time or less, you're in the gold tier. You get this chest, which will bring you up multiple levels on the Expeditions page, so you can take on harder challenges to get better awards, and it's that kind of system that's feeding that loot grind to it. And there's story stuff that I think is cool tied to it, but I won't bring up, obviously. And for me, the goal is the platinum, and so, like, I feel like it's going to be hanging in there to do that, and then just to hang out with my friends. But I'm right there with you, Bless, that when something else comes along and takes me away, I'll be taken away, and that'll be the thing. Khalif, what's your plan for hanging out with it?
Yeah, level 15 is the, you know, world tier 15 is the next goal to try to see if we can get there, because, you know, I'll get to the end game at some point and get to expeditions and stuff. For me, I think the thing that's going to actually like continuously kind of pull me back in, because most of the games that Bless talked about, I'm not excited for yet until Returnal and then Deathloop. So I have some more time to kind of dig around and stuff. Mm-hmm. But once I start to see either, you know, People Can Fly start to talk about either new mods that are going to be coming up in the space or new potential skills, which I think would be a fantastic thing to add to the Expeditions layer, totally. Which is going to keep people kind of going. That's the stuff that's going to wind up kind of pulling me in, because you wind up getting to a min-max point too, where you're like, ooh, if I can get this mod up to this point with this weapons and I understand the synergies between those kinds of things, I'm going to wreck stuff and then continue to kind of move up levels, which is going to be that thing that winds up working. And I think also kind of playing with other people, you'll then start to change up the way you kind of maneuver with skills and other stuff so that you can be a part of a team as opposed to playing it in kind of the solo way that I've been playing it already. So you'll be swapping things in and out to have builds that will kind of work towards that as a better conversation too.
And we're talking about things that I'm surprised aren't in the game. Loadouts for a game that is giving me so much loot. Then, you know, I'd love to have a loot set that is like, here's my solo build. Here is when I need to be doing damage. Here's when I want more time stuff. To have those, you know, on a quick select, be able to go, I'm surprised they don't exist. Instead, I have to keep all that armor and keep it in my head straight. And then to your point of, you know, more mods, more other stuff, you know, this isn't a games of service we've talked about. So what does that mean for DLC? I want to point over to Forbes. Forbes had an interview after the demo, but before the launch, that Paul from Forbes shared again today. This question stood out to me when I reread it. Forbes, you've repeatedly said that Outriders is not meant to be a live service game and is quote unquote complete at launch. But what would the threshold be for you to consider future content, missions, guns, classes, and such? Does not live service rule out meaningful expansion, or can things like DLC still be in the cards? People Can Fly responded, "We never said that we would abandon the game. This isn't a games as a service, but if people like it, we will definitely be doing more things in the Outriders universe. We have many more stories to tell and a lot of ideas we want to explore that we couldn't fit in the original game. So we're happy to create more content in the future. Anything we would make would be in the form of significant expansions with self-contained stories." So I would think that, like, you know, different mods and changes like that, you wouldn't see until they were like, hey, boom, here's an actual substantial piece of content.
Yeah.
Mike, you are, of course, Mr. Multiplayer guy. You have the Squid Squad you're playing with all the time. Do you see Outriders having a long life for you?
Long life? No. This is at the tip of our tongues for about a week to 2 weeks. We'll all get up to max level. We'll play a couple expeditions, but I do not see us grinding this out or trying to continue to do that loop for certain gear like we would in a Destiny or a Division, right? The guns just aren't there, right? I don't really need any of these guns. They aren't speaking to me like the Destiny guns, right? They're just a bunch of flesh. But I will give it this, right? This game is just good enough where it will always be a perfect off night for us. Me and my squad are more competitive multiplayer squads, so we like really having that competitive edge. But when we need those nights off, this is going to be one to put in the Rolodex of like, hey, y'all want to play this? And I think it has proven to us that it is a good game. If you bring out more DLC later on, we will jump back on for the weekend. If we want to go do an expedition or two, we will do it. I wasn't truly impressed by the expeditions. I don't think they're game-changing, right? They add a fun level once you get to the end, but it isn't anything where it's like, yo, I want to do 4 hours of expeditions. I want to do two of these and then be done with the expeditions, right?
The expeditions are cool. And in terms of, oh, it's a new thing of like, let's go fast. Let's go and challenge ourselves and try out these new crazy weapons. Like the guy who did 4 million damage. The stats pop up. I'd almost scraped 2 million damage. Mike was way under leveled and shouldn't have even been doing it yet. Did like what, a couple hundred thousand. And then this kid we were with did 4 million damage. We're like, all right, well, cool. Thanks for carrying us on that.
What's the idea behind the expeditions?
In terms of,
like, is it a type of raid or is it just
it's you know, multi-tiered rooms of lots of enemies, like with the goal of getting to something specific to open it up kind of thing. And then when you do that, you get a special currency that you can then only spend with one of the vendors now that has new higher tiered gear, stuff like that.
Is so there it's like story attached?
Yeah, there's story attached to it. Okay. I shouldn't say that. There is a story beat that gets you there, and then you're doing something for the story, and I don't think it's going to pay off. Like, I do all the expeditions, and then, you know, these special gates open or something like that. But, I've done one now with Mike, so it's not like I'm well-versed in it in any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, back to Mike.
it does have the tease of if you do all the expeditions, you unlock the final expedition, right? Mm, there true. Was oh, one shit. Called like the Whirlwind or something for me and Greg, where it said like, hey, if you do these right, then you're going to work your way up to the final one, which is really cool and be like, okay, that I would like to see that as right. But it is just room after room, Andy, essentially what you've seen in the mission structure already of you're in room one, kill seven bosses, go to room two, defend this obelisk, go to room three, do the same thing, and you have 12 minutes to get the best rewards, 15 minutes to get the second tier, and then 17 and on, you get the third tier.
Get your Happy Meal toy and get out of there.
Yeah, and we beat ours, just so everybody knows, we beat ours with like 12 seconds left, so shout out to Greg for being incredible.
Well, shout out to that guy who did 4 million damage. Yeah, I was going to
say, yeah, team 4 million, dude, what are you talking about?
If you thought like, 4 million was badass, a man just posted on Twitter, he put 192 million out into an
expedition. This is what I'm talking about, though.
If you think that was dope, just know there's a lot more to do.
So is time counting down, or is it like...
Yeah, there's a timer on the screen that's going and telling you how much...
If it hits zero, it does...
No, no, there's one like super sub, like, hey, you got a participation box that has like... Okay. Yeah. A rusty knife in it, and they're like, congratulations.
But it is
Andy,
dope loot. Like,
Andy, I want to close.
Dope loot.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, like, there are those, like, ultimate class armors that I think look hideous. Y'all look, you know, you look like, what's his name, Lord Zedd or whatever from Power Rangers when you get it. Like, I don't want it, but I want the stats attached to it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about armor yet. We need I feel like the armor in the game sucks.
This game needs
dude, transmog. Wait, what? Desperately
I don't like what how do my character mean? Looks at all. I've never, oh. I've not looked dope once so far.
I mean, Destiny doesn't have that either in the biggest ways either.
Yeah, but you
though.
Can like apply.
Yeah, but this
like,
game, how, we colors, knew that. Right? We knew that when they were making this game. Like, why would you address
that's our point. That's
in
my
Destiny,
point.
I can make my character like all white and pink, and I even though I look ugly, I still look dope at the same time. In this game, I don't even have the opportunity to like color coordinate in any way that even looks remotely cool.
100%.
I just look like
transmogs needed like a, or at least dies are needed.
I look like I'm both in the past and in the future at the same time. I don't like how my character looks.
Yeah, I felt like I was looking dope playing with Khalif and Paris outside. And then I unlocked armor that put bone fucking all around me. I was like, I don't want bone on my armor. I don't. Yeah. What are we doing right here?
What
like,
is these, this Monster Hunter shit?
These styles are clashing. I don't want to keep on getting higher level and start to look more and more like some organic freak monster. Like, nah, man, I want to look like, but that's all just, you know,
it's like my character
preference.
Thinks they're in Monster Hunter and Mass Effect at the same
time. I prefer the Destiny Mass Effect sort of thing. I don't think I will really stick with this game at all. And that's, I've said this a million times. It's never an indictment on the game. Destiny could be firing on all cylinders, putting out the best sort of shit, and when I'm done with the game, I'm usually just done with the game. I don't really stick around and try to find out the new thing. I'm always, you know, playing Call of Duty with Mike or, you know, playing whatever multiplayer game I'm hooked on or whatever. So I do think one potential way to continue the life of this, as opposed to just putting out free DLC, similar to how like a game like Ghost Runner is putting out sort of you know, what their DLC looks like, where they can't really just put out new campaign missions, but it's, hey, we'll do variations of past things that you've already seen. I think they could put out sort of epic versions of bounties or like modified versions of monsters that you go hunt that, you know, maybe it's the same monster with a lot of the same move sets, but maybe it has one added move and now it shoots green fire now. And it's like a golden emblem on the map that you're like, oh, that's the one that I unlocked because I hit this level or whatever.
Sure.
I think that could be a quick way to kind of add more and more life to this because you can't really replay story missions. But I think if you modify these bounties and say, oh, that dude that you killed, well, it turns out he didn't die. That bullet didn't kill him. He's free. He's back again.
They could take a cue. They could take a cue from another hit games as service from Square Enix, Marvel's Avengers, then everybody's just a clone. And so you're not really fighting Abomination for the 19th time. You're fighting the 19th Abomination clone. It makes perfect sense.
This is element resistant. Just for like half an hour.
My immersion is totally perfect right now. I feel so immersed in this world.
Understandable. Yeah.
Joe, are you going to stick with it?
Yeah. I think I answered at the beginning.
She was the first. We've just been going around. There's so many of us. By the time the carousel ends, you want to get back on it.
Tim, how about you, Tim?
My eye! eyes. These snakes. Oh god, the snakes are still on him. I guess final thoughts, right? I feel like we're all super high on this. Final thoughts, but then the other question would be this. Mike, you asked me this last night, and obviously Xbox Game Pass, you can go get this game for just your low price of either the $1 a month deal or the $15 or whatever it is, right? Because Xbox Game Pass, amazing deal. But you asked me, would you pay full price for this game? Obviously, I had a review code, but like, I would. I have had such a blast with Outriders. Would Khalif, your shit nodding, you'd be into?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a game like this where I've thought about it as soon as I wake up in a long time.
Yep, exactly. That's such a great way of putting it. If it's always on my mind, I want to go play.
I'm like, right after we get off of this, I'm going to go play. It's like one of those things where just like, I need to figure out all the little intricate parts that go together so that I can have the most badass character that I can. And then be able to wreck things and shoot bullets that drop lightning out of the sky. It's amazing in that way.
Blessing, would you pay?
Yeah, somebody in my Twitch chat asked me the same question actually last night when I was playing the game, and the way I answer it is, when it comes to co-op games like this, the way that I kind of look at it is similar to how I look at, like, you know, how much would I pay to go to Six Flags with friends? Like, I'm not playing this game specifically for just the story or just the gunplay or whatever. I'm playing this game to hang out with friends for the most part and have fun while I'm doing it. And this is a very fun thing to do with friends. And so if I would pay $60 to go to Six Flags for 5 hours. I think I'd pay $60 to $70 to get a fun 30-hour co-op experience with friends. I think that's worth that. And so, yeah, I'd pay full price for it.
Could not agree more with Bless there. You know, if I had no idea what this game was and my homies back home hit me up and are like, oh, dude, we're all going to get this Outriders game. You're going to get it? What is it? Let me look. I'm down. Let's do this. You know, so I would do that just because I wanted to play games with my friends. But then once you're in there, I think the gunplay and the moment-to-moment gameplay is more than satisfying enough. I think it's really legitimately fun to get in there into these big arenas and figure out how to take out enemies and just see all these crazy cool abilities mesh with each other. And I think it's definitely worth it. 1000% worth it. Yeah. Is it flawless? No.
Of course not. And that's what we're talking about. The story is a bombastic action movie. Pay as much attention as you want to. There's all sorts of crashes right now that are going on. There's the accessibility stuff Steve talked about. But then, there's this game that I think does a great job of shaking up the biomes, like, you know, introducing new enemies that are the same class of enemy, but are they different enough? They look different. There's something new to shoot. But then something you're talking about that we've mentioned, but we haven't specifically brought up is like, there's always that moment of where the powers combined, where you do I do a slow-mo thing, right? Mike's shooting from the side. A Devastator jumps up in the air and flies in like Superman and ground pounds somebody to nothingness. Andy's sniping ahead from, like, there's all these things where, like, you know, it's funny that this is another Square Enix game, and I, you know, jokingly brought up Avengers, but one of the big things people are like with the Avengers, like, why the fuck aren't there team-up moves? Like, you're the Avengers, right? And this game delivers that, where it is a synergy of powers happening at once, or you're about to get knocked down, but somebody does throw, or I'm about to get knocked down, and somebody tosses that turret there that's in front of me that, you know, takes out the enemy or helps me take them out to get my health going. Like, there's so much of that.
Best sound design in the game, too, for a while.
What was it?
Best sound design I've seen in a game in a while, too.
Like, I didn't even notice it till Blessing brought it up, but the cha-chunk of the when you beat a boss and they drop their loot, and it's like chunk, cha-chunk, cha-chunk.
There's two real quick things that I think of every time I jump into a thing is when you have a pyro and they shoot off their bomb and then the bomb starts to explode, and then the sound of when you shoot bullets that have weakness on it.
Yep.
It is a very, very cool sound that just goes along with, you know, like, oh, I know what's happening in the background without me even having to see it kind of stuff, which is super cool.
And that was the other one for me when I switched to this damage build I'm running, right? Like using my anomaly bullets. So I forget what they're called, mine for Trickster, the time ones, but they do extra damage and like they sound different. And so it's that thing of, I don't even have to look at the HUD. If I don't hear that sound, I know that I should get on it. Joey, would you pay for this game?
100%. And I feel like I'm with Andy and Bless, where so much of it is based on my friend group being really into it and having a bunch of people to play with. I think if I didn't have that crew of people, I probably would be a little bit less into it. But I still, even when nobody's around or it's like a weird hour, it's like, oh, maybe I'll just try this one time by myself. So it does have that like hook in me. But I think it's definitely a game that's more fun if you have people to play with.
And then Snow Bicycle Michael, the man who gets it for free off Xbox Game Pass.
Game Pass. Would you pay for it? If you're listening, get Game Pass.
Put it on Game Pass on PC, goddamn it,
please. Because it's on cloud and on console, which is really cool. But Blessing and Andy hit it so well, right? This game is worth the 60 with the time that you're going to spend with your friends. And no, this isn't perfect. This is a 77. This is middle of the road video game that has a lot of fun gameplay loops that you're going to enjoy with your friends, but it's not going to blow your skirt up, right? And what I would say is if you're not attacking your backlog, if you and your friends are looking for a multiplayer game to play right now, it is worth the $60. If you want to wait, this is a perfect on-sale game. When this game drops to $40 or below, and it's not a games as service, and you're not going to be left behind and not be able to partake in everything, this is a game where you and your friends could buy it for $40 or cheaper and have a blast for a weekend or two. So if you'd like to wait, stay out of the conversation, let things fix itself. If you can catch this on sale, this is going to be one of those, put this in your Rolodex of multiplayer games because it's going to be a good one.
Dude, so true. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to hop into Destiny right now. Being like, what is happening in this video game?
Why?
There are a million systems that, obviously, it's because the game's been out for a while and they developed these so many different solutions and different currencies and all these different things. But this game is not overwhelming when it comes to the way that the way the systems work. It doesn't throw a lot at you in terms of having to figure out how to level up, and it's like any other video game. It's white, green, blue, purple, and legendary, whatever. So I think it's more than simple enough that if it does go on sale in 3 months for, you know, $39.99 or $29.99, you're not gonna hop in and feel like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, no, it's pretty it's simple for what it is. Yeah.
And I think it's in a lot of ways like what Mike talked about for his friend group of like, I do feel like this is a game that if Poe found it 3 months from now, I was like, oh, I'm playing Outriders. You want to play it? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll jump in and I'll come either clean house with my guy, or maybe I'll make a new one and roll with you or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of different options in there of just like a game to catch up with, to actually shoot the shit with. You know, Mike almost went live last night when we were beating it, but he stopped because it was just like, we're just hanging out. It's nice to have something to talk about that's not work and play through it. And now we talk about this game for a
while. It's nice to have something to jump into, like a Destiny that's not a Destiny. Where I feel Andy 1000% that, like, last time I jumped into Destiny was during Forsaken, and I had been out since launch, and trying to jump back in and then also play with people who've been playing Destiny this whole time, you feel like you are foreign. Like, you feel like you don't understand anything that's going on in this world. And you like, for me, it was a very difficult time trying to get in, and I bounced out about a few days later. And for Outriders to come out and be something that's from the ground up, I can hop in and have a fun time with it, not have to worry about all the stuff that came before it. I think there's so much value in that. And so if you're looking for that, then I think it's perfect.
I think Outriders is the best example since Dying Light of what you were talking about, Mike. Ooh. A game that drops with like low expectations in spring when everybody, or you know, like January to spring, of everybody wants that new hotness, they want a new game, and they're just they're desperate in quotes to play something on their new systems that they don't want from their backlog. They don't want to worry about something from December. This is that one of like, it's a moment right now that they just captured and crushed. So congratulations to them for sure. And the game's
well
great.
Then it seems like we are all in agreement that this game is pretty good, huh? That's my impersonation of the voice acting.
If that's an Outriders reference, I don't get it, because I don't get like any sort of reference in this game.
Tell me, Andy, give me the backstory on Jacob, or Jakub.
Jakub. It's Polish.
Jakub was from back home. He was one of my friends from back home, and little did I know he'd be alive still 30 years later. Fucking hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your review of Outriders here on the Kinda Funny Games Cast. We all love it and are playing it, and you should too. Of course, if you like our show, the Games Cast, you should love and appreciate that over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where you can get each and every episode ad-free. You can get it with the post show we're about to do on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. And of course, you could be watching live just like Gary H is, Joshy G is, and Raul Ponce Jr. is. Ladies and gentlemen, the show will be back with Tim hosting after he recovers from the snake bites and the knives and the thing. We thank you for your support. Khalif, where can people keep up with you?
All podcast platforms, the Spawn On Me podcast with Khalif Adams. And you can check us out on twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. PST, to watch the live show. Latest episode is rocking with ID at Xbox senior manager Chris Charla, rocking with us, talking about all the wonderful stuff that they're doing in indie space. So go check that out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Khalif. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.